been a big week for the Dallas Stars, moving on to the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs with that dramatic overtime win on Monday night against the Nashville Predators. And it's about as good a spot as the Stars have been in since I can't remember. I know they advanced a couple of years ago, and we got excited about that Blues series. I think this team is different than that team. I don't think they're any sort of cinch to take care of the Blues. I think it's going to be a really tough series. They're taking on the hottest team in the NHL, a team that's been 34-12-5 since the start of the year. They had the fewest points in the Western Conference when this year started. The Blues have gone on this incredible run, not only during the regular season, the second half of the regular season, but in the playoffs and advancing here to the quarterfinals like the Stars. But the Stars have advanced. That scene on Monday night, it was very reminiscent of leaving Reunion Arena after some big wins in the late 90s. Everyone was pumped up. The commissioner was here. Gary Bettman was here to take in that. And he was impressed not only with the home crowd that night, but also, have you heard this, that the Winter Classic next year between Dallas and Nashville, the pre-sale on that exceeded 60,000 tickets?
Second best pre-sale they've ever had. I think the one in Detroit was number one.
Yeah.
It's now sold out. It took them about an hour to sell it out yesterday to the public.
And then that's great. Went to general sales and yesterday, and yeah, they think the range is going to be somewhere around 80,000, and they've already sold that out. I figured that would take months of marketing to sell that out at the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I think it's the best bit the NHL has come up with in the last 10 years or however long this has been around. It's just a really, really cool thing.
Yeah. And hockey's in a really good spot right now here. That was impressive to the commissioner that the Stars were able to sell it that quickly, and the fact that it's already sold out for next New Year's Day. And then this team is starting to round into shape. And, you know, I think this was a bit of a put-up or shut-up year for Jim Neal. He came in with a lot of promise in 2013. Not all of his deals have worked, and this team's lack of success, certainly in the postseason, goes right back to the general manager and how it's built. But he brings in Jim Montgomery, who by all accounts has done really well with this team this year and handled this team really well. But if you're going to have a championship team, and time will tell if this is a championship team and if they can advance, heck, even to the Western Conference Finals or to the Stanley Cup Finals. But if you're going to have a great team, you've got to have a superstar. And there's no doubt that this team has one, and Tyler Seguin, who does a weekly show here on The Ticket. And if this team is truly different this year and goes on a long run, a lot of it will be because of the work of Tyler Seguin. And this was one of the first moves made by Jim Neal. He was named the GM of this team in April of 2013, and it was July 4th, 2013, when he pulled off the big deal with Boston, landing Tyler Seguin here, giving up Louis Erickson, now in Vancouver, Riley Smith, now playing for Vegas, Matt Fraser, who now plays in Germany, and Joe Morrow, who is a defenseman now playing with Winnipeg. You add up all of their goals, and it really doesn't equal what Seguin has done, 226 goals in 469 games, a 31-goal average. He has been spectacular here, and I don't know if, look, you've got to win titles here before you're going to be acknowledged as being anything great. That probably applies to a lot of cities. So this has a long way to go to until you get to the Herschel Walker deal or the Tony Dorsett trade that the Cowboys pulled off in the 70s. But this could go down at some point as one of the greatest trades ever made in Metroplex history, the fact that you were able to bring a superstar here, and what they gave up has certainly not come back to haunt them.
Where do you rank it right now?
I don't even know if it's in the top five now, because we're talking about a team that hasn't been in the Stanley Cup Finals yet, but I think if they get to the Stanley Cup Finals, I think it certainly gets in the top five, and maybe you put it right behind Dorsett and Walker.
See, the trades I have problems with in terms of how to rank them or where to rank them are those draft day deals, like the Dirk Nowitzki draft day trade with the Bucks.
Yeah.
Well, that obviously worked out really well for the Mavericks.
Right.
But draft day trades are kind of weird in that
it's almost their own category.
Yeah, it's almost like the team is drafting for the other team, and it's basically a draft pick and not a trade in a lot of cases. Now, this year, or last year, this season, the Mavericks gave up a decent amount to trade with the Hawks to get Luka. So I would put that up there for sure. It technically was a trade, so you have to put the Dirk trade. The Dirk and Luka trades, and again, Luka's a little bit like Tyler. We got to let it play out to see what benefits it eventually brings to the organization, but immediate impact was great. But both of those, I'm guessing, are going to have to be top five trades. And then, yeah, the Herschel Walker trade is number one, right?
Yeah.
That's absolutely number one, and I don't think anything will ever come close.
No.
That's what built three Super Bowl champions. And I don't even think the Tyler Seguin trade can be directly linked to if they win three straight Stanley Cups or 3 in 5 years, and he's a huge part of it. It can't have the impact that the Herschel Walker deal had. So that's number one. The Tony Dorsett deal was also huge, the missing link for the Cowboys in the second chapter of Rodgers' career. And the Luka and Dirk draft day deals. The Tyler Seguin deal's probably going to go down in history if it leads to a Stanley Cup somewhere along the line as a top 10.
Razor came up with another big stars trade that I had forgotten about, shouldn't have, but the Zubov trade for Kevin Hatcher. Obviously Hall of Fame defenseman, key member of a Stanley Cup team.
Yeah, skated a cup and got him to another one, too.
And then there's, for example, kind of falling into the category of the Dirk Nowitzki trade, the Ben Bishop trade. So the Stars traded a fourth-round pick for Ben Bishop, but he was about to become an unrestricted free agent, and the Kings weren't going to sign him, and so they knew that they had to get something for him. So technically, the Stars traded for Ben Bishop, which looks pretty good right now.
Yeah.
But they traded because they were confident that they were going to be able to sign him. So what, it's not really a Herschel Walker type trade, but it was technically a trade.
And, you know, I think a lot of it does go back to Jim Nill, who did this deal 2 months into his stint here. And I remember, given his track record and what he'd done previously in his career, I thought it was going to be good for the Stars. I'm all about structure, and I think that's how you build a championship team. That may be the most important thing, that you have a good GM. And like I mentioned, all of his deals have not worked out, and I think he was probably on – if this team had cratered at the end of this regular season like they did last year, or maybe if Bishop had been more seriously injured and they weren't able to pull off what they did late in the season – boy, they had some tough questions to answer about this team and about their general manager. But the fact that I think right now he's fine and they're fine, the fact that they made it to the second round, we'll see how far they go with this. But it's taken a few deals they made this year, like Zuccarello, getting him in here, what a big impact he's been. But just given what I read about him before he got here, what I've seen from him, his approach to the game, it seems really logical to me. Much like John Daniels' approach, and I know he certainly has his share of critics, he seems like a guy who knows what he's doing, and that is how you build championship teams. It starts with your personnel department and your GM, and I've always been impressed with him, even though he really didn't have too much to show for it until whatever we have this year and see how far this team goes.
If they had cratered and miss the playoffs, yes, he would have been on thin ice, because where else do you turn? If you're Tom Gilardi, you just made a change at head coach. You, through your henchmen, called out your team's two biggest stars. I mean, where else do you turn if things had cratered this year? I think Nil's run probably would have come to an end. 6 years, I think, in Gilardi's mind, would have been enough.
Yeah. And isn't it amazing perspective? So you go from that a couple of months ago to now, you look at his acquisitions, you look at Heskinen, you look at Bishop, you look at Seguin, you look at Zuccarello. Where would they be without all those guys?
Yeah. Yeah, and that goes back to Nil. I think he needs to get a lot of credit for what this team does. And again, you could be singing a different tune, and you may say, well, he didn't come up with enough if they get spanked by St. Louis, and that certainly is a possibility. I'm not saying they're – but I'm starting to have that – that's the other thing about this team, and maybe because I was there the other night, and it was so electric, and that game was so great. But just in evaluating them as a team, they seem deep. They seem to be a team that has a lot of different options on how to score and how to defend, a really good goalie, a coach who seems to relate to the players. And when you have all those things, I don't care what the sport is, you have a chance to make a deep run. Hockey is one of those weird sports where one guy can help you make a run, or one bounce of the puck or unlucky break. But heck, they were unlucky the other night and still were able to win that thing. I'm just starting to have a this year is different feeling about this year's team.
Well, Jim Neal deserves a ton of credit for what has been built here. But I'd like to do this segment coming up in the next couple of days, certainly during the Blues series. I think Monty deserves more credit. And there was something really interesting written about him this week, that his number one objective coming to town was to get rid of the culture of mediocrity that had set in with the Stars. And do you know how hard that is to do when something like that has set in? Now, Monty says it's ultimately the players. They're the ones that have gone out and they've won these games and put together this great run. And Neil deserves a lot of credit for bringing those players in. But you got to have a chef that can make it all work. And when you come to town and there's a culture of mediocrity and your number one objective is to get rid of that, that's a really hard thing for a coach to get done this quickly.
Yeah. But again, does that go back to Neil because he's the one who brought him in and took a chance on a guy who didn't have head coaching experience right in the NHL? And I still think going back to that big, whatever you want to call it, calling out of star players back in December, I almost think that was an orchestrated good cop, bad cop thing. Let the front office be the bad cop and let the guy in the room be the good cop and build him back up and kind of build it into, okay, well, it's, you know, management's calling you out. It's us in here in the locker room, and it's me. I believe in you. It could have blown up in their face, but I almost think that may have been orchestrated between the coach and the ownership group. Somehow they pulled out of it, and it certainly did give them a jolt along with some of the deals that they made in the second half of the season.